When I was in junior high and high school, there was a girl in my class whose name was Linda. Now, Linda and I weren't really close friends, but we seemed to have a lot of classes together. And it seemed like in those classes, we were almost always seated next to one another. Probably because both of our last names began with S, but whatever. And I can remember in school throughout the years, you know those career placement tests that you do, the career, what are they, I don't know what they're called, career assessments or something. Every time we would take those, I can remember that Linda, who was normally very bubbly, very talkative, very outgoing, she'd just sort of clam up. And I always kind of wondered why, but I never asked her anything about it. And I think it was maybe sophomore or junior year, and we were doing one of these career placement tests again, and I noticed that Linda had just completely disengaged from the conversation. She had turned her assessment face down on her desk, and she was just kind of looking down and not listening to the conversation that was going on around us as other kids were talking about what careers came up and what they wanted to do with their lives after they got done with school. And so I asked her what was wrong. I probably even made a joke about some silly career coming up on hers. You know, what, did you get, I don't know, garbage man or, you know, crazy cat lady or something? But when she looked up at me that day, she had tears in her eyes. And what I didn't know then, but I learned later on, was that Linda wanted more than anything in the world to go to medical school to become an anesthesiologist. Now, she was one of the smartest people in our class, one of the most caring people that I had ever met. And so her wanting to be a doctor didn't surprise me at all. But for Linda, that goal seemed completely out of her grasp. No one in her family had ever so much as gone to college, much less medical school. Her dad had joined the Air Force right out of high school, and while he was stationed in Japan, he met this little Japanese woman who was cleaning houses on base, and he married her. Linda looked at her middle-class family, her immigrant mom, her parents who never went to school past high school, and she thought her dreams of medical school were a fantasy. She thought she'd never be able to afford all of that schooling, and she was convinced that her parents, especially her very sensible, practical Japanese mother, would tell her to just get her head out of the clouds and be realistic. But you know, something changed in her that day. After she had that initial conversation, Linda began to say out loud more and more that she wanted to go to medical school. And by the time we graduated, she had done job shadowing with several different people in the medical profession, including an anesthesiologist. And she had her mind set. She had a vision for her future and a plan on how to get there. But that vision had begun in fear. Her dream felt too big, too insurmountable, too far out of reach to even hope for. But once she spoke it out loud, things started to change. The school guidance counselor began to tell her about scholarships and various programs that would help make school a little less expensive. Her friends and her classmates encouraged her and told her that we all thought she could do it, because she was one of the smartest and most driven people that we knew. And those conversations gave her the courage to eventually talk to her parents about her dream. And much to her surprise, her folks were thrilled and incredibly supportive. Things begin to happen when we speak our dreams out loud, especially when those dreams are a calling that God has placed on our lives. You know, it's easy to see in my friend Linda that she was meant to be a doctor. And she achieved that goal with the help of many people along the way who saw her vision, who believed in her and in her abilities, and who worked with her to make her dream come true. Nehemiah, too, had a dream. He had a calling on his life. And he couldn't say it out loud at first. He had gotten to Jerusalem. He knew that God was calling him to do his part to restore the city. But for 3 whole days, Nehemiah couldn't even go look around. Couldn't bring himself to face the damage that had been done to the city. He just couldn't. The calling was there. He knew it. He had gotten as far as the city itself, which was no small feat. But now he couldn't go outside to see how big the task was before him. Somehow just going to look around would make the truth hit home in a brand new way and would break his heart all over again. The city that he loved, the city that was the center not only of family but of his faith, was right outside his door. But to go out there would require him to face the devastation. Now, I think it's pretty easy for us to sit here and say, oh, why couldn't he face it? If God had placed the calling on his life, why didn't you just get to it? Now, I can't speak for Nehemiah. But when I first felt that God was calling me into vocational ministry, yeah, I had a couple conversations right away. That call was fresh, and I knew in my heart that it was from God. And even though I was scared at the prospect of what all of this would mean for my family and for me, I was excited. But as days and weeks went on, and that immediate electric feeling that I had felt started to fade, so did my courage. I knew, at least I thought I knew, that what I had felt in that moment was real. But I kept telling myself, if it was real, it would just keep happening. God would keep making you feel that way over and over and over and over again. And I didn't continue to feel that way. And so I began to wonder, was it real? Or was all of that just in my imagination? It took me weeks to work up the guts to face my calling and to take steps that would cement it in my life, to make it real. I had to step out in faith that God was still with me, that I hadn't imagined things, and that God truly had a calling for me. And I wonder if that's a little bit of what Nehemiah was facing too. When he does work up the guts and the strength to go out, he goes out at night. And he doesn't tell anybody why he's there. Doesn't tell anybody what he's doing or what his plans are. Maybe he's hoping, maybe things aren't quite as bad as they told me. Maybe he's thinking, you know what, if it's not as bad, there's no work for me to do and I can just go back to the palace and keep living the cushy, easy life I had before. Maybe he's wondering, does God really think I'm the right man for the job? He hasn't told anybody about this call on his heart. So maybe it'll all just go away. But God has a funny way of not going away. The calls that God places on us don't just disappear or fade away. God keeps poking at us, keeps reminding us, nudging us, keeps calling us. And so after 3 days of hiding inside, of avoiding the truth of the ruin around the city, Nehemiah takes some guys with him and under the cover of darkness goes out to explore the wall. Now, why at night? If you really want to assess the damage, if you really want to figure out what the task is before you, why go at night? Doesn't make sense, right? I think Nehemiah really didn't want to see how big the job was. But when he got out there, what he saw was undeniable. The damage was just as bad as he had been told, and he knew he couldn't run from the calling that God had placed on his heart anymore. And so after examining the damage, he tells the others, finally, why he has come to Jerusalem. He told them that he was there to rebuild. He told them that God had called him to this, and that the king had allowed it. And what he probably thought began as a fool's errand, all of a sudden shifted. Once he spoke that dream, that calling out loud, things began to change. Nobody told him he was crazy. Nobody told him it couldn't be done. Nobody walked away from the task at hand. Instead, scriptures record that the people around him said, "All right, let's get building." And they committed themselves to the common good. Just like my friend Linda's dream became real once she spoke it out loud and others found ways to help her make it a reality. Just like once I started talking about my call into ministry, others helped me make that happen. So too it was with Nehemiah. And so too it can be with you. You may have a vision for your future. You may have a hope deep inside of you that feels too far out of your grasp. You may feel that God wants you to do something, but you don't know how to make it happen. You may feel that God has put this on your heart and then walked away from you. You may be confused. You might even be scared. But God has not abandoned you. God does not call you to something and then walk away. If God is calling you, there is always a way. It may be a renovation that lies ahead of you. It may be that your life is about to change, but if God has called you to it, the hard work ahead of you will be worth it. So open the door. Come out into the daylight. Speak your passions, your dreams, and your calling. Words have power. Just ask our God who created the universe with the power of the word. Renovation begins when we say yes. Amen.